Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the VRO Variety Radio Online. I'm Shelley, and I'm joined today by Crew Innes, co-founder of World's Fair Pictures and co-star of the new film, A Beer Tale. We are waiting to be joined by his co-star and co-founder, Leroy Kuhn. So we'll go ahead and start with you, Crew. How is everything this evening?
Everything's great, Shelley. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview us.
Well, thank you for taking the time with us today. We're very pleased to have you. Let's go ahead and start and find out a little bit about you and your career. And if you could tell us a little bit about World's Fair Pictures while you're at it.
Well, World's Fair Pictures is myself, Lee Kuntz, and Isaac Bauman. Isaac is another producer with us, and he's also the cinematographer of A Beer Tale and our upcoming feature, Delirium. I guess it started four years ago. We started working on putting together A Beer Tale, and we've been together ever since.
Fantastic. Lee has joined us. He is online with us now. So how are you, Lee?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing really well. My name is Shelley, and I am your host for this evening. And Crew is here with us already.
Hello,
hey,
Lee.
Hey, Crew.
So let's go ahead and give Lee a little chance here. Lee, tell us a little bit about your career and then take us into A Beer Tale with a brief synopsis.
Hi, so me and Crew met a while back when I was a film student at USC. We were doing a graduate film, just acting in it. We met really off, and over the course of a year, we wanted to put together our own low-budget feature film that kind of spiraled into something much bigger than we ever imagined it would. A script that me and my brother had written in high school.
Okay. Well, actually, that's one of my questions is, when did all of this madness actually start? Because you did write the script with your younger brother. So what was the timeline from conception to reality?
So we wrote it kind of as like a fantasy about two brothers who owned a brewery. We didn't really know what we were doing in terms of film or writing, and we both took very separate paths, not really deciding on film yet. And then a few years later, when we were trying to put together this film, we originally wanted to shoot like a $10,000 project. We'd go to Alaska and shoot in the woods, do like an adult version of Lord of the Flies, and we just kind of didn't think it was worth it. And so I pulled out this script that I had put together with my brother, and we just rewrote it with me and Drew and Isaac, and we got into a place where that we could have a lot of improv, and we could kind of find the film as we were making it, which we think kind of really led itself to the final film.
That's very interesting. So it really was a long process.
It really was, and we kind of made it a while ago, and we were able to come back and maybe even re-edit it a little bit with, I guess, knowledge that we've accumulated working on all these other projects that we've been doing.
Fantastic. Now, Crew, why don't you give us a brief synopsis of A Beer Tale and tell us what the story is about.
Beer Tale is about two brothers who are orphaned at the age of five, and they're raised by their strange uncle in a brewery. The brewery is actually a real brewery. It's Left Hand Brewery in Colorado. And it's a coming-of-age story about the brothers and what they do after college. One of them wants to continue in his wild ways. That's Corey, played by Lee. And then myself wants to settle down and start a family. And it's just the madness that ensues.
And it is madness. I really enjoyed several scenes in the film. But without giving too much away, the Carnival Grounds foot chase, if you will, was hilarious and very physical. And so that was my favorite. But what was your favorite scene to film? We'll start with Crew again.
My favorite scene to film?
To film.
I would have to say, I'd have to say it'd be the jail scene because of the pressure that we were under to do it. We shot at a real prison. And we had, I think, an hour and a half to get in there and get out. And so we only had a couple of takes to do this right. We shot it with two cameras, and we shot it simultaneously on two connecting cells. and with our backs against the wall, I think we, you know, we ended up doing a really good job in our performances, and I think it shows in the film. So I'd have to say that scene for sure.
I agree. Lee, what was yours?
That's tough. That, you know, that Heritage Square was fun to shoot, and you were right. It was physical, and that that later that day, my mom spent like 2 hours pulling cactus from my backpack. It was just that beer after beer from tumbling down that hill that we jumped.
Well, there's a lot of running and jumping, and you were a track star in high school. So, well, at least you went to track to to Notre Dame to do track.
Yeah, for a year, and it wasn't my thing. They make me run a lot and work out, and you know.
So. Yeah. Well, they do that, and in this movie, you know, you made. You made a couple of the cast members run a lot, so you kind of got karma back.
Oh, that's true. You know, the funnest scene was my dad, who plays Uncle Connor, again, when we made the film just using everything we had at our disposal. And
mm-hmm.
the back and forth we had. Like, in the opening scene, the little kids actually pushed him into the freezing water. They were pushing my dad in this water, and he just damn near wanted to kill me. And the scene that got cut. He had the chance where he's like, we're still a beer from the brewery, and he catches us, and he, like, strangles me, and he, like, barks Simpson the hell out of me in that scene.
It was 20
See,
years
now,
of pent-up aggression.
Oh, exactly.
I want outtakes now. I really do want some outtakes.
Oh, the bottle. My dad threw a bottle. You know, when I'm running around the bases, my dad threw a bottle at me, like, his face. And I dodged. Thank God.
Oh, that's fabulous. I mean, you know, family angst. It's okay. I'm serious. You guys have to do some outtakes for us and put them up on YouTube or something, because that would be wonderful.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. What was it like for you, crew, filming with the guy who kind of masterminded the whole story? Was it at all intimidating, or, you know, working to get the character the way that Leah portrayed it, or... Was it just did it come naturally?
It came very naturally, very organically. Like, we workshop scenes for a couple months in advance because, you know, it's an independent film, and, like, time is always, like, your number one obstacle. So we were very well prepared, and then we also got to use a lot of improv in all the scenes. So I got to bring a lot of my own, you know, experiences to, you know, the work. So I couldn't ask for a better situation.
Well, that's great. Now, you also acted as the film's producer. Did that bring any special challenges to you?
Yeah, a lot. a whole lot. There's a lot of stress that goes along. Like, when you're producing and acting in a film, producing completely takes you out of, you know, what you're doing. And we had a lot of problems on the set because we had a lot of different people. But, you know, luckily it came all together, so...
You were also a co-writer and director, so how was that for you? Were there any special challenges there? I'm sure it was absolutely easy as can be, but you tell us.
Well, that's actually funny you said that. I was supposed to play the Luke character originally, and I was just realizing that it's a much, in my opinion, a harder character to play. You have to be vulnerable, and you have to, like, be emotional and kind of over the top, and Corey is just so much like directing, and he's forcing his will upon everybody. And I realized that'd probably be a better character play while I was directing, at least for this first go around, so that I could vibe off of it. I didn't have to like switch gears.
Okay, well, I can see that. Now, your character had a lot of fun. It was pretty much a big party, this movie, for Corey. So.
Yeah, that's
good. Luke did have to kind of act a little bit and a little bit more, I should say, and really get emotional and a little high and a little drunk.
Yeah.
You both did a little bit of that. And I did have a beer while I was watching just to be there with you guys in spirit. But
nice.
What kind of beers do you guys drink when you're just back and chilling? Just throw out a casual question there.
I'm a pale ale guy. Lee is the actual expert. He actually brews beer, but I usually stick to ahead, Lee. Tell her about your home brew.
Oh well, I do a coffee stout, which is like a Guinness with coffee and like a little sweetness. I do a really high alcohol brew beer, which is like and I do a Belgian style IPA, kind of like a hybrid between a Blue Moon and an IPA. Like the closest there is on the market is like a Raging Bitch, which is I forget what brewery does it. Flying Dog does it. Really popular. Mm. Really popular with my grandpa.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I'm a beer snob. I'm a Guinness girl.
Are you Guinness?
I'm a pure Guinness girl. I prefer liquor though. I'm the whiskey and the bourbon, and so my friends hate to drink with me because I'm expensive. I'm expensive. They like the flavored vodkas. I'm pulling out the $6 beer and and whiskey. So
we get along really well. We get along really well.
Yeah, you'd fit right in.
Yeah, what are we doing right now? That's our kick right now.
Right, yeah, we've been on a Scotch kick for, I don't know, the last year. So anytime an event comes up, we always get each other Glenfiddich, Lee, myself, and Isaac. Which we didn't really say anything about Isaac, but he's like the third leg of this tripod. He's like an extremely talented cinematographer who's been there from the conception until now. But
great.
Yeah.
And he's working with you guys on Delirium also, so we'll talk about him a little more in a few minutes. Now, a large portion of our audience are viewers of the CW Network, so I would be remiss if I did not ask about working with Scott Patterson, who was Luke from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, Scott.
Scott's first day to show up on set, we didn't watch the show. We knew it was a big deal. We knew he had a lot of fans based on his online traffic. But his first day to show up to the set, there were literally fans lining the house we were shooting at with signs and, like, trying to meet him. And it kind of changed our perception of him a little bit. But he's amazing to work with. He's really, really intelligent actor. And he's even a better guy, which, anyone can pretty much tell you that.
Well, that's awesome. I'm all...
Lee, you should tell the story about him and
the reaction.
Adrian's beat. Yeah, you should tell him that. That
oh, yeah, he gives me good kudos for that. So that the very final scene, you kind of see how he really kills it. He, like, really breaks down and he goes after it. And I don't know, we weren't really getting to that point. And so I went up to him and I was like, Scott, I don't know what your range is. Like, you coming from TV and all, but I really need you to, like, get it to this level. And his face just fills with rage, and he, like, let's do the next. And that take that you see is the take after that where he's bawling, and he just kills it. And then after that, he's just always like, you know what? You punked me, and I love you for it.
Aww. Well, and that's actually a really great seg. My next question is about the social commentary in the film about alcoholism and the impact on family. And I want to know if that was something you felt compelled to include because of the brewery storyline, or was it something that really rounded out the story or that particular storyline for you when you were writing it? So, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, everything in the film, we wanted to kind of really create like a balance or like ground it in reality. So many of the beer movies are like, beer, getting drunk, all this crazy stuff without any, like, at least addressing any of the consequences that actually do come with that.
It was very smart. It was low key throughout the movie. It was very well carried out, and I was actually surprised at the end to see that scene, and really appreciated that it was there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're very proud of that element of the film.
Yeah.
We were all really trying to hold each other accountable to be as genuine as we could with the storyline we had.
Right. Also, the film opens on the effects of alcohol in our society, and then it closes with a more intimate look about what it can do to a working family, as opposed to at the beginning when it's a family that's been broken up from the effects of alcohol. So it's it's a really good compromise of what it does.
Yeah, and again, I really appreciated it. I thought it was a great way to kind of close the film, and as you said, it kind of bookends the start and the end. Now, you've told us a little bit about the delirium that happens with creating a beer tale and everything that you go through from writing to production to, I'm assuming, financing and getting, you know, distribution. Now tell us a little bit about delirium, because you're doing this all over again, writing, directing, producing, and acting in a new film.
Yeah.
So who wants to tell us about this new work of art?
You want to tell them about the movie, and then I'll tell them about what we did with it?
Oh, you mean like we've kind of broken it into like five shoots? Oh, the big brothers that are traveling. Again, what you're saying is that we've this is such an ambitious project. We've had to break it up into about five shoots. One of like flashbacks that takes place in New York. The second one being all over Europe, which we went to about 15 countries shooting. An L.A. shoot with the principal girl, since we couldn't bring it. And then a fourth shoot, with we just went back to Moscow and St. Petersburg and Prague and a few other countries shooting some stuff. And then our fifth shoot, which is yet to come, is all kind of final L.A. stuff with that really need a lot of production design and a lot of like a planning that we couldn't do if we were all doing it all at once.
The film is about it's about two brothers traveling through Europe whose little sister has been kidnapped and is being held for ransom. And the story revolves around Dorian, who's played by Lee, and his point of view of like what's really going on. And it's in the vein of Memento, you know, meets Taken, and it's this international thriller that, like, so far it was such an ambitious project, like Lee says, but it is, the footage has gone above and beyond any of our expectations. And, I mean, it's turned out to be something that's truly coming together to be special, which we couldn't be more excited about.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the production company's website, there is a map of Europe and all of the places that I'm assuming you shot, you've actually done shooting at.
Yeah, we've done all of that, even quite a few more countries that are actually on the map.
Yeah.
It is wild. It's all over Eastern and West. Well, actually, all over Europe. Just period.
On the map, it doesn't have us. We went to Budapest and Vienna, Austria, and Amsterdam, which isn't even on the map.
Well, the big one, crew, is Jerusalem, where the entire film ends. We shot quite a bit in there, like in the old. In the old city, which you've really never seen on film before, and it's absolutely incredible. 4,000-year-old.
It was insane. Our cinematographer actually had a Molotov cocktail thrown at him while filming some exteriors. It was such a crazy, wonderful experience. I wish we had 2 hours just to talk to you about Jerusalem. That's how crazy it was.
Well, that's okay. You'll come back and tell us more about it later. because it really is, it looks like a huge undertaking, just the European piece of it. So to tell me that there are really five full layers is astounding. So I wish you a lot of luck. Do you want to take this opportunity to tell us about the third party in the production company? Just kind of give me a little bit of information on him and what his role is.
So, me and Isaac met in a film class together. We were juniors, and we dropped out together, and we met. I had already known crew, and we formed a company from there. But you want to take the rest of that, Isaac?
Actually, he would be here with us today on this conversation, but he's shooting one of my current heroes. He's shooting Usain Bolt in Jamaica right now for a commercial. Like he's a super, super talented and smart guy. But he also co-wrote Delirium with Lee, which I think I failed to mention earlier. I don't know what else to say about it. He's really talented.
Wow. So you have a really great group there, a varying background. Very amazing. Well, is there anything
for a music video award for he DP'd the presets video and got nominated for like one of the most prestigious ones just here in Poland.
Yeah, cinematographer award. Which is, I hope he gets it.
So we have it covered. We have writers, directors, producers, cinematographers, and actors.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys really are kind of able to go out and do most of what you need to just with the small team that you have.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
is
there anything that I failed to ask that you would like our listeners to know about? Okay. The listeners,
actually, there is something. Lee probably is going to get mad at me for mentioning this, but Lee just did a David Guetta a music video, which I just was privileged enough to see literally last night, and you can find it online. What's the name of the song, Lee?
Just One Last Time.
Just One Last Time, but it's incredible. And he also does it with our co-star, Yulia Snigger, who is, she's in Die Hard 5. She's one of the lead actresses, along with Beatrice Rosen in Delirium. And Beatrice Rosen, who's also an extremely talented young woman. She's from countless projects. But, check out that music video that he just did. It's incredible.
We'll love to. As soon as we find it, we'll get the information on the website. All right. Well, listeners, you can find A Beer Tale at Redbox, Blockbuster, iTunes, Amazon, Netflix, and On Demand. I actually had to go to 3 different Red Boxes to find a copy, not because it wasn't there, but because they were all sold out in the first 2, which is always a good sign,
Wow.
A good sign, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And I was talking to all of these guys on Twitter, but they really are too busy making films to be social. But as soon as they get, things in motion, we'll get that information to you on our Twitter. And we'll get their Instagram information and their website information for World's Fair Pictures. We'll put that on as well. And that does it.
Do you love movies, music, books, television? You do? Then come on over to the VRO on Blog Talk Radio. We have shows for all your obsessions. Vampires, we've got them. The latest blockbuster movies, they're right here. Fans and books, music and fiction, it's all at the VRO. What are you waiting for? Log on to the VRO today. www.thevro.com. Want more of the VRO? Visit us at thevro.com.